It's your girl, Christina. This is Overheard at Yoga. So let's crank up the heat and get down, dog. Okay, we can start whenever we're ready. Hello. Okay. Hi, how are you?
Hi, I am so good, Christina. How are you today?
I'm so good. I don't know you. We have never met.
No.
But you reached out to me through Instagram, and I'm so glad that you did. Can you tell everyone your name?
I am Jane. Jane Lyon, and I am honored to be here. Yeah, I reached out because I just wanted to get into touch with more yoga teachers like around the world. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm based in Salt Lake City, and I think that we can kind of get into our own little bubbles of like what it means to be a yoga teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm always talking about what it means, and I decided I'm gonna start doing more research on people outside of here.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just start connecting with more and more teachers. And someone on my team found your podcast and sent it to me. And I was like, this is perfect. This is exactly what I'm looking for.
Rad.
And I love it.
So you have a team. What's your team?
What's that?
You said you have a team.
I have an assistant and she is incredible. She helps me just run all my things that I'm doing. Yeah.
Tell us all the things that you're doing.
So I'm obviously a yoga teacher, but I kind of use that as like an umbrella term because I think that yoga teachers really get to do all the things. So I do teach yoga classes all virtually at this point. I have a virtual yoga studio. And then teaching meditation is actually kind of where I got started. That's really what I'm passionate about. But I'm also a Reiki healer, and I read the Akashic Records.
Oh.
So I serve my community on a lot of different levels. And I also have like a little yoga teacher training group program that I'm running right now. I do mentoring with other young, you know, healers and just like young women who are on the spiritual path, kind of looking for some guidance to develop themselves more. So I do have a lot going on, and I have an amazing assistant who helps me keep things running.
That's awesome. When did you get on the path of yoga?
So I was really lucky. My mom is a gym rat who was a ballerina her whole life. And so she was just always aware of yoga. Like, I don't know when she started practicing, but she just kind of always did yoga. And when I was a kid at her gym, they started offering kids yoga on Saturdays.
Cool.
And she was like, this is what Jane needs. Cause I was just always that way. Always wanted the meditation CDs, like
what?
The singing bowls. Yeah. I was just such a spiritual kid from the beginning. And so I'm so grateful for her. And I always tell her this because she was like, you're going to do this yoga class every Saturday. And I still remember that first class and meditating at the end and just laying on the floor and being like, this is fun. Like, I really like this stuff.
It
wasn't working out. I was 8 years old. I was really
old.
Yeah. It was like kids yoga class. Like the poses are even more animal than they used to be. It's like all different names for the kids classes. And so I was just doing that for a long time. And I don't even know at what age I got to the point where I could go into classes with my mom, but I kind of remember getting to that point where I could go with her and I could kind of keep up, and I was just so lucky. And then like in my early 20s, my mom took me on my first yoga retreat. She helped me pay for my yoga teacher training. She's like the benefactor of my yoga career.
Your mom sounds awesome. So supportive.
She's awesome. Yeah, there was a time in college where I was like, are you going to be okay if I get my degree and then go become a yoga teacher? And she was like, I have a feeling that's what's going to happen. And I'm just proud of you for like whatever you do. So,
aww.
Yeah. So that's kind of what got me to where I am. It's almost like my life was just leading up to me stepping into that role of teacher and being confident enough to do that. And then stepping from role of yoga teacher to like, how can we push the boundaries of what this even means and make it even more expansive.
What were you going to school for? What's your degree?
Environmental studies.
Environmental studies. What did you love about that?
So that was just, wow, that's such a good question. I think that for me growing up, I always had a really empathic heart, was always really sensitive about things and and saw things so differently than other people did. Like, I don't think that's okay. I don't think that's right. Why isn't anyone asking questions? Mm. And so when I got to college, I went to the University of Oregon, and it was such a liberal place that everything was really awakening for me after moving from Utah. And those classes that were just focused on like the earth and being a better human for the earth and understanding sociology and, you know, how humans are with the earth, it just, I was pulled right in. And I honestly thought that I would graduate and like go save the Great Salt Lake or like save the Colorado River. And I got to the end of it and I kind of had like a little breakdown at the end of college where I was like, my heart is broken. Everyone's hearts are broken. Like, we don't know how to take care of the earth. Mm. I don't know how to take care of myself.
Wow.
I'm gonna try to start with me. And yes. I kind of started over. And because I feel like I spent all of college like, you have to compost that. You have to recycle that. No, you can't eat meat. Like, we have to live these perfect. I had my garden. I was doing everything I could to be like the best steward for this earth. And something inside of me was like missing, like the care for my own soul and my own spirit wasn't there. And that's why I felt like I wasn't getting anywhere, no matter how hard I tried. So I took a full stop at the end of college and really focused on like my own spiritual growth.
How do you focus on spiritual growth? I personally really struggle with spiritual growth. Sometimes I feel like it's really mystical and almost out of reach. And there's a part of me that feels like that's the beauty of it. That's the beauty mm-hmm. of spirituality for me anyway, is because it's such a mystery. And so yes. some moments I'm like, it's a beautiful mystery and I'm going to just enjoy the wonder. And then other parts mm-hmm. of me feel, I guess based on what I see in society and the culture around me, a part of me just feels like angsty atheist. I'm like, absolutely not. Nothing matters. Who cares? Like, get a little Nietzsche in my mind about things. And so, which can be kind of conflicting because I'm so drawn to esoteric, the yoga path. I'm so interested in it, even though I guess I would say I'm kind of a bad yogi. I just feel like I'm like a regular person who likes yoga.
I love this. And I think that's why I felt connected to you when I started listening to your show, because I think that I'm like about as spiritual as they come, but I'm proud of like how grounded I am and how real I actually am. And I love how you're like so Nietzsche, like that's so me. And that's, I think, like the balance we have defined, especially as yoga teachers. Like, I think so many people look at yoga teachers as like a symbol of someone who is like solid and knowing and like not afraid of what's coming. And so we have to kind of be in this, like, it's okay to be in between. It's okay that we don't know what's coming. And it's okay to be nihilistic some days and then, like, super fruity the next day, you know?
There's a time for everything.
Exactly. And I think that actually, you know, my friends and I who got the degree in environmental studies, we joke, like, it was a degree in depression. It was a degree in conspiracy theories, you know?
Wow, yeah.
Every day was a lecture on, like, here's what's wrong with the earth. How are you going to figure this out, you know?
Wow.
And so I think that that keeps me really, really grounded and rooted in like, no, the world isn't like doing that great, but I have a responsibility to stay light filled and to keep doing my work. And so specifically for me, like I dropped everything and I started going to a Tibetan Buddhist course in downtown Salt Lake City. And that became my world. Like all of a sudden, nothing else mattered to me except for like this weekly class at this Buddhist temple. And this is the interesting story about like my yoga journey, is that, you know, I did start practicing in a gym and then I went to yoga studios, but I feel like as like a teenager, I had that mindset of like, you're doing it for your body. It's like a workout. It's good for you to be disciplined. And then as I'm having this like spiritual breakdown, my senior year of college, I'm like, why isn't yoga giving me what it's supposed to give me? Like I had missed the ingredient of like breath and meditation and like presence. It's like I had somehow gotten all that way without really being given those tools. And that's when I got really serious about just meditation and really looking inside of myself, not having to move or do vinyasas or sweat or anything, but can I sit here with myself for the next hour and, like, you know, listen to these lectures and meditate and go there? And it was terrifying to go there. It was so terrifying to go there. And I think that's the, to me, that's like that spiritual growth is like, can I really look at who I am, my heart, how it feels to be in my existence, in my mind, in my soul? And can I learn to love that and like fall in love with it and like be a person that I really want to be around? Because those, for people who start meditating, you know, those first few sessions, you're like, this is horrible. I hate this. I don't want to be in my own presence.
Yeah, meditation, you know, gives me anxiety for sure. Which is hilarious because I will get to Shavasana as a teacher and I'll see everyone fidgeting and I'll be like, we got to stop this. And so I'll try, I try my best to set up the pose of Shavasana in such a way that they know that it's time to be still. Cause I think sometimes if I take a yoga class, there's no pre-meditation to meditation where they're setting up the ground rules. And I think I've really been fascinated with trauma sensitive yoga because it's all about telling you every single thing that's about to happen before it happens so you can understand it. And, and for me, I think I needed that for meditation. When's this going to end? As how I'm feeling normal. Which I don't know why we need to hear that. Or maybe it's just me, or maybe it's just women in general, but we need to know that what we're feeling is normal and that we're allowed to have feelings come up for us.
Oh yeah, 100%. I love what you said about that because I've been getting more into trauma-informed teaching and I never ever thought that just letting you know we'll be here for four more breaths could be so like groundbreakingly relaxing for somebody. And so now every time I'm teaching, that's kind of like, how can I really set you up to, like, the last thing I want to do is let you feel like you're just hanging in space, not knowing what's coming next.
Yeah.
And yeah, we're here to kind of bring that grounding and that, and like hold space so that you can be in that quiet and like, you don't have to be afraid or like freak out. Like, we're here, we got you. I'm right there, you know?
How long have you been a yoga teacher?
So this will be my fourth year.
Cool.
So I started teaching meditation workshops maybe 2 years before I even got certified. And it was funny because a lot of other teachers would be like, will you come sub for me? Will you like come teach this class? And so I started like subbing and teaching a lot way before I was certified. And I'd always say like, just so you know, I'm not certified to teach. And they'd be like, no, but you've been here for years. And that, I guess, was like kind of the old school way.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's what the older, like, no, it's fine. This is like the old school way. You don't need to. But then once I did get certified, it was like I had so much confidence to just like step into this world and start sharing. And, you know, I think we all need that.
So you teach meditation and you teach yoga classes on your virtual platform?
Yes. Yeah.
Did you start that before COVID or like, was that your COVID baby? Like this podcast was my COVID baby.
Exactly. So before the pandemic started, I was teaching maybe like 5 or 6 yoga classes a week at a place here in Snowbird called the Cliff Spa. Gorgeous yoga studio, like dream job. And trying to teach all those classes up the canyon while serving tables, while hosting my meditation workshop, while trying to get my Reiki clients together. And I was just so burnt out. Like, I thought that I was building the life of my dreams. And there was this voice that was like, why isn't it working though? Like, this is not working.
Oh my God.
And then one day, boom, it's all gone. You're not doing any of that anymore. And you're not allowed to leave your house. And your clients are anxious. They're afraid. They're uncomfortable. They're looking to you for support and for guidance, and you gotta get it together and figure it out. And that was actually really challenging because I've always been able to show up online, but I've never like taught online.
Oh, it's different.
It was such an uncomfortable adjustment for me, but I really didn't have any other choice. And I couldn't not show up for people during this time. I couldn't just sit around and not do anything.
What were some of the learning curves that you had to overcome?
I think that for me, like, when you just walking into a room and just sitting at the front of the class and looking at everyone and feeling their energy, it's so easy to teach from that space. It's so effortless. Turning on, like for me, it was like more Instagram lives that I was starting with, just trying to get, and like, I can't see anyone. And I'm like, is anyone even following me? Like, I can't see anyone's face. I can't feel them. I'm seeing people pop in and out. And I think those little things of like comments popping up and likes popping up and people leaving and coming back while trying to like continue to steadily teach something. Oh my gosh. Every time I did that, I was like, that was so uncomfortable. I hated that. I can't do that again. And then I just, a week later, I'm like, I'm going to do it again. I'm going to keep showing up. And now I teach 6 week like meditation courses that are just weekly online. And then every Tuesday and Thursday morning, my sunrise yogis, we all meet on Zoom, and we're celebrating a year of doing that now.
Wow. That's awesome.
Yeah. And that, again, it started with a private group of ladies. We were teaching, we would get together on this tennis court in the summers, and that worked during the pandemic. We all spread out. There was plenty of space. And then those ladies were the best. We were practicing like well into October, and I'm sure, you know, it's the same climate there. It was so freezing, and I was like, ladies, we can't keep practicing like this. This is not working.
You're the one who wanted to stop it.
Yeah, I was like, I don't know how you guys are doing this. It's freezing. Like, this isn't going to work much longer. We live in Utah.
Yeah.
And they didn't want to, you know, go into a space because the virus was still pretty rampant. And I was totally understanding that. And I was like, we can't practice here all winter. It's not going to work. Let's try Zoom. Like, I thought it was the worst idea ever, but like, it's all I can offer you. Like, let's try to just do Zoom next week. And half the class agreed to it. Half the class was like, nope, haven't seen them since. And the ladies that stayed, it just worked. I was so excited. We just did it. It worked. We loved it. No more going outside in the cold in the morning to get in your car, just being right there in your own home. And then I just kept building and building that group. And now I have 20 students, and we're a year into it, and I'm like, this is so fun.
That's amazing. How do you set up a Zoom space to do yoga?
That is a great question. So, and this is something I love to support my students with, like setting up your home space, right? So in the corner of my living room, I've got this rocking chair. I push it out of the way every single time I practice. And I always tell this, like, if you need to move furniture out of the way, just do it. It's not a big deal. Move the furniture out of the way, maybe sweep the floor a little bit, make sure it's nice and tidy. And then I just set up my yoga mat and my laptop probably like 10 feet away from it. That took me a while to get that angle down.
I was going
to
say, how did you angle it? Because we're in the podcast studio right now, and we have a box that I call the Zoom box. And so whenever we're going to do a Zoom session, like, get that box, put the laptop on the box, so then we can be eye to eye.
Exactly. So I have this little like stepping stool that's like the perfect height. There's a part in my living room that's like the perfect place to put it, angle the laptop. And I started there. And then as I kept going, one of my videographer friends was like, oh, you could just use a lavalier mic, like clap a mic on, plug it in. I got a big ring light. And so now I have like this light on me. And it's kind of funny. It's like a whole production now that I kind of set up.
Yeah.
Got some music playing. And
I still struggle with the audio stuff, which I think is why I jumped on the opportunity to get a podcast studio to do stuff for me, because trying to do Zoom for our studio when the studio shut down was a nightmare. We went through so many different microphones, trying to get the angle right. We were using like a phone and then an iPad and then a laptop, and things kept changing. The audio wouldn't work right. We wanted to include music and trying different mics. And then when we would offer, what's it called? Like indoor classes again, but they're so spaced and so minimal. We would put the iPad in the room to record the class as we mic'd up and recorded with people in the room. And then some people would be at home, but then the heat in the hot room would fry it. And so like the audio would never work, and people were always complaining. And then we ended up creating our own virtual platform, and we hired a videographer, and it's like a full production now. And I was, wow. it was a crazy thing. And now I can barely set up Zoom, which I sent you an invite and I got on today. I'm like, how do I do this again? Which I was doing it 5 times a day, every day. It's weird how things can just change instantly. That's impressive mm-hmm. that you've been able to keep your Zoom crew going. And do you do the meditation classes through Zoom also, or a different way?
Yeah. I do those on Zoom also, which was another adjustment for me. I cannot wait to, it's interesting because a lot of places here closed and like stayed closed. So even when I want to hold a workshop, I'm like, is there any studios here that are open? Like, what can I pay to get some studio space? And we've been slowly uncovering a few places that are like opening their doors again, because that's something that I really miss. You know, teaching yoga on Zoom is one thing, because I'm like, I'm getting you out of bed, you're getting your practice on, like that feels so easy and simple. And teaching meditation is such a group experience. It's such a vibe to be in a space and to share that with people. And I miss that even more. While I know that I'm giving great teachings that you can receive through the computer, I wish you could feel what it's like to be in a circle with 10 people meditating, you know?
Oh, wow. What would you say to people who might be kind of like me, who get intimidated with the idea of meditation? I think earlier in this conversation, you said you meditated for 1 hour, and that sounds nerve-wracking. I love distraction. I think that was one of the naughty things that happened to me during COVID, was I got really into my phone. We got super tight, which was amazing, because mm-hmm. that's how I connect with people. But then I have to tell myself, okay, now it's time to disconnect from people and do my own thing. So I need meditation, but I'm like, I'm nervous.
Yeah, it can be so hard to unplug. And something that I give to most of my students, who especially like something I'm noticing that's hardest for people, is like right when they wake up, they really want to look at their phone. And that's almost like the hardest. I'm like, that's like your morning cigarette. That's like the hardest habit to break, you know?
What a great symbol for that. I have right? a morning cigarette every day with my phone.
Exactly. It's like this habit that seems so hard to break. And I think that it sets a tone for you're letting everyone into your field right when you wake up, right? It sets a very scattered tone for the day. So I'm always, you know, pushing my students, just wake up, leave your phone, you know, brush your teeth, whatever you do. And then all you need to do is sit down. This is my number one. Light a candle, sit in front of it, set a timer for 5 minutes, and just sit quietly observing the flame of the candle, breathing for just 5 minutes. Just 5 minutes. And that, if you can do that, like at least Monday through Friday, after you brush your teeth, give yourself 5 minutes to sit and observe a candle flame, I promise you, without a doubt, you will feel the effects and you will notice, oh, that wasn't so bad. I can do 5 minutes. And then you do it again the next day. And by the end of the week, you're like, can I do 7 minutes? Maybe I can do 10. And you start to ease yourself into it. And for me, if I have a busy day, I'm at least going to give myself 5 minutes, at least. You know, when I'm sitting for a long time, it's probably because I'm at the Buddhist temple doing some 2-hour elaborate puja practice where there's a lot going on. It's not like we're just sitting in silence for those 2 hours. And if anyone who's listening thinks that to meditate, you have to just sit in silence for like 20 to 30 minutes, I would just like, let's just 5 minutes. Just give yourself, we call it small glimpses. Just take a little glimpse of the meditation. That will have such a stronger effect than if you try to sit for 20 minutes and get like frustrated and agitated with yourself.
What are some of the benefits your students start to tell you when they begin their meditation practice?
Something I heard the other day that I loved, this guy, he was a carpenter. And he said, after I started this meditation class, I go to work and it's like he was showing me how he like, the nails just go right in perfectly. He never misses. He doesn't have to sit there and fidget. Like, he's like, my mind was just tuned right in. And I love to hear that. Something else I hear a lot is, I became aware of how much I don't let other people talk. Like, I just can't sit there quietly listening. Then I started meditating and I realized, oh my God, I'm listening to you. I'm just listening. And my voice isn't thinking of what to say next and how peaceful that feels, you know? And the biggest thing that I noticed when I started meditating, again, I was in college. The mornings that I would meditate, I would walk onto campus and I would smile at like every person I walked by. The mornings that I didn't meditate, I was like looking down, not connecting with anybody. And that brings me kind of back to my like spiritual development idea of like, I would rather be the person that's smiling at everyone, looking everyone in the eye, kind of sharing that warmth and that light, than be the person who's just like looking at my toes, maybe looking at my phone, like not acknowledging any other people around me. Mm-hmm. I can totally be that way sometimes and I allow it. You know, you don't have to be all uppity and outward all the time. But if meditation makes you kinder and softer and more patient, how could you not give yourself that?
Thank you so much for sharing that. I'm so inspired now. The candle meditation, that seems like a trick that I could give a shot.
Yeah, it really is my secret that like all my students will tell, like, have you tried candle gazing? I'm like, we all know I'm about to bring up candle gazing because humans like to observe Earth. We like to look at fire. It's a symbol of like security for us, warmth, peace, food, tribalism. So just gazing at a candle, it's really good for your eyes, and you might just find that it's very relaxing. So let me know how your 5 minutes goes.
I will. And also, you have a podcast.
I do, yes.
What's it called?
It's called Lioness. So my last name is Lion. I had this idea. It was one of those things that, like, during the pandemic, I just wanted to do it, but I couldn't come up with a name. It felt intimidating. I wasn't quite sure how to do it. And I kind of just kept putting it off. And it got to a point where one day I just called my friend who had a podcast. And I was like, I have my notepad. Tell me how to do this. I'm just going to start. I'm going to call it Lioness. I don't even know if I like that name, but I have to just start it, you know? And so I think we're on like episode 14. So, you know, it's only been a few months.
So it's a baby podcast. I have a baby podcast too. So, and it's Lioness, L-Y-O-N-E-S-S podcast.
Yes.
And what do you talk about on your podcast?
Thank you for clarifying. So I called it Spiritual Contemplations because as a Buddhist and a yoga teacher, I think that there is a lot of teachings that we're given that we're supposed to just like swallow and accept, like, okay. Well, I don't think anyone's pushing us to be that way, but the idea of the show is to bring some of these ideas into the show and really pull them apart, digest them, and talk about them. So, you know, I had a friend come on who talked about cacao and her journey with cacao and like what that even is. And I had another friend come on to talk about womb wisdom and like healing your period and your moon cycle.
Cool.
There's so much we can explore here, you know, in the spiritual development realm. And I'm kind of like a Buddhist literature junkie. And so some of my episodes, I'll just like really ranting on that stuff that I hope people are connecting with. But my listeners are understanding. So, it's a lot of that. And, you know, something I haven't mentioned is that I'm queer. I'm a gay woman and I live in Salt Lake City. And that's a huge part of my journey. And I made an episode that felt really edgy to me called Queer Spirituality.
And I actually listened to most of it. I was like, who's this girl? And I was like, this one seems real. I'm going to listen to this one. And I loved your authenticity. I love how you share and how you bring up pieces in the culture that helped you feel comfortable with being yourself. I thought that was a really amazing episode.
Well, thank you for listening to that. Yeah. I was in such a mood that day and I was so afraid to be so vulnerable and share that, but it was like, and that was kind of the idea. It's like an organic channel. Like, this is what's present for me today. And I have to be brave enough to just share it openly. I used to be a blogger and do a lot of writing, but I got really overcritical of like every sentence and every word. And that's what kind of, can I just start talking? Can I get more comfortable
what's
just sharing
sign?
Directly? I'm an Aries.
Oh, my moon's in Aries.
Really? What are you?
I'm a Virgo on the cusp of Virgo and Libra, and then my moon is an Aries moon, which Aries are like fire. So on the inside, I'm very fiery, but on the outside, yeah, I can seem put together.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, you Virgos. It's like I am surrounded by Virgos. Everybody in my life is a Virgo. So sorry. That's funny. Oh, it's, I love it. The confidence, the organization, the attention to detail, the solidness. I love Aries. I love having a Virgo around.
Aries are very, which I think I got like a little upset at my Aries because I have a friend who's very Aries. She's just like loud and bold, and she'll talk over you and tell you exactly what she thinks as she just thought it and didn't actually think of what she was about to say. And like, you probably should have thought about that before you said that. And she's like, whatever, that's who I am. I'm like, okay.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I have been thinking about creating a series of like advice for your sign.
Yes, please.
Like, if you're in Aries, you probably talk about yourself way too much, and you need to, like, let other people share.
Yeah, but look at us. We've got podcasts. It's fine.
Exactly. So go get a podcast if you're in Aries, and then let your friends tell you about their lives while you listen.
Is it an Aries thing to be critical about yourself, or is that just, like, a human thing or a woman thing?
Oh, man. That is a big question. I think that's definitely a woman thing. To be critical about yourself. Virgos are very, very perfectionistic. You're probably either really critical towards yourself or towards like your partner. Like you want the people around you to just be like perfection all the time.
I had to deal with that in my past for sure.
You've overcome it.
Yoga helped me get past it for sure. That was very helpful for me.
Well, and I love that you asked that. Is that about being an Aries, about being a woman, about being a human? It's like, as women, we are so critical of ourselves all of the time. Most of us just want to be taken as seriously as men do. And so we criticize ourselves for every little thing that men probably never even think about. And so I appreciate you bringing that up because that's something that I'm always dealing with. I'm very hard on myself. And I guess I'll have to explore if that's like an Aries aspect of me. It's just always, I think, there's this line of perfectionism, right? That's kind of threading through this of like, can we let ourselves be as we are today and say that that's perfect and that we don't have to reach for some end goal to be perfect, that like you are because you woke up and you're here and that's all you need to do.
I really liked this. I don't know where I read it. It was some yoga blog or something, but they were basically giving a natural, comparison by saying, if you look at the seasons, spring and summer, like it's budding, it's green, it's lush. And then in the fall, it slows down, it changes colors, it falls down. And then winter is quiet and solitude. And so some days I feel like today I'm feeling like summer, or the next day I'll feel like today is definitely a winter day, and that's okay. And so when I was able to recognize that I'm just an animal in this natural world, I gave myself a lot more grace for that. And like today, like I'm wearing a hoodie and a beanie, and I was tired today and I didn't feel like doing anything. And you look absolutely beautiful, but no one can see you, but you look beautiful. You look put together. I'm like bags under my eyes. I'm like, I'm so tired today, but I don't care.
Oh no, I'm just wearing a tank top with a cute scarf for whoever's listening. Like, and that's the thing with being a yoga teacher is that like you get to just be so cozy every day, especially when you live in this cold climate. And but how you say about the seasons, I got Ayurveda certified at the beginning of summer, and I'm just like so into the seasons and like moving with the seasons. I keep reminding everyone it's fall, as if they don't know it's fall. We need to start slowing down. We need to start warming our bodies, you know, eating more nutritious meals. And I love what you said, because sometimes when the fall season's happening, we try to treat ourselves like we're still in summer and keep going and keep creating and keep doing things. And we're ignoring that animalistic seasonal voice inside of us that's like, slow down, chill,
it's relax. Okay. Yeah. I have to ask you, what have you overheard at yoga?
Oh my gosh, so many good things come to mind, but there's something specific that always stands out. One of my students, he more recently said this to me, and it was one of those like breakthrough moments. Yes, he said, I realized that it's not about the postures. It's about how you move between the postures and how you inhale when you rise. And then you exhale. And I wish I could tell you exactly how he said it, but he was like, Jane, it's about the journey into the next posture that matters. And I was just like, yes, that's it. That was one of my favorite little like side notes in a yoga class that I've heard in a long time.
I love that. I had a regular student of mine come out of one of my classes not that long ago, and he'd been taking my classes for like 4 or 5 years. And he comes out of class and he looks at me and he's like, I think I finally get it. I get the breath. He's like, I get the breath thing. And it's a vinyasa flow class, so you're linking breath with movement. And I've been teaching this to him for 4 years. And he's like, I never actually like, he's like, I get it now. I can't believe I didn't get it before. Oh, and he was being so hard on himself. And he's like, oh my gosh, I get it. And and his wife came to me and she's like, he said this. And she said, I've been doing yoga for like just like probably twice as long as him. And she said it made her question if she got it. She's like, how much are we really missing? Cause we'll have these moments of like the light bulb goes off. Mm-hmm. And I love those moments. And I love when students share those moments with me.
It is the best thing because especially for me, I was practicing yoga for so many years without that aha moment. Like mm-hmm. I was just doing it. And so to feel like, you know, we're moving with our breath. You feel like you say that 100 times a class a yoga teacher. And then to have your student be like, I moved with my breath. You're like, yes.
You're like, I get it now. Yes. I remember when I had that aha moment too. It was really amazing. It was really empowering. Jane, I have to thank you so much for reaching out to me. When I got your DM, I was like, yes, this is amazing. I like took a sneak at your Instagram page, which I'll have all this stuff in the show notes. And I was like, this woman is amazing. I thought it was really cool that you just reached out and said hello. So thanks for coming on my little podcast. Thank you.
Christina, thank you so much for having me. And I just love your whole message of, you know, just like the feeling closeness to your yoga teacher. Like that's really what I'm going for. Like we're not these obscure people. And I just love that you're doing that with Overheard at Yoga. And I'm so honored to be here. And I'm so glad we could connect today.
Yay. Okay. Well, thanks for listening, everyone. Bye. Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Leave me a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. And I want to hear from you. Please send me your Overheard at Yoga stories. Tell me about your yoga journey, what you love about your home studio, or the funny thing you overheard at yoga. Find me on Instagram at overheardat.yoga to submit. There are so many different styles of yoga and opinions about yoga, but the one thing I've seen in all my travels to different studios is yoga brings a community together. Namaste!